You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman here with Joe Hagman, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. If you didn't catch the interview that we did with Joe Biggs from InfoWars, please do so. Go back and listen to that. What a great, you know, there are so many great independent journalists, independent investigative journalists out there. And I do count Joe Biggs as one of them. Both Joe and I do. And even Eric the Tech was saying, you know, man, he's everywhere and he really gets to the bottom of things. So, folks, drop him a line. Tell him, and if you want him back, tell him that you heard his interview on Hagman and Hagman. In fact, he's got a Facebook page. Okay, Biggs InfoWars. That's his Facebook page. Just give him a post, give him a shout out there and say, man, great job. Because he's putting he's putting himself on the line. And you heard him, 20 hours,
3 months, 2 months.
Being home. Right. And that's a sacrifice that, you know, when people look at, for example, look at our radio show. We do a 3-hour radio show per night. And sometimes people will say, well, you guys can skate because you have guests. Well, no, we still prepare. We still contact and have contacts and contact others and attempt to find.
It's really a 24-hour thing.
24/7.
Doesn't mean we're up all the time, always doing stuff, but, you know, we're reading news articles. We're doing research. We're networking with people, planning, scheduling. There's a lot that goes into each and every radio show.
Exactly. Now,
can't just roll out of bed and jump on the mic and
although sometimes it looks that way, right?
Yeah, but, it sounds that way.
Yeah, no, it's not. And but anyway, definitely Joe Biggs, make sure you drop him a line, Facebook, whatever, and say, "Hey, enjoyed your interview with Hagman and Hagman." And anyway, folks, have you gone to Whole Tones Live yet? Whole Tones Live, are you feeling stressed? If not, I don't think you're paying attention. Do you feel overwhelmed and do you feel like sometimes the life is running you instead of you running your life? Man, that's, I gotta tell you, that's, more and more today. I'm hearing from people saying, you know, it just feels like we are at the, at some sort of a juncture. And people are stressed. People are stressed. Well, we have an answer for you. WholeTonesLive.com. Renowned musician, author, speaker, Michael Terrell. Now, we had him on our program in the past. He has revealed a stunning, just this stunning discovery in music therapy. He's got 7 amazing new musical tones and music projects, if you will, found to relieve stress, promote healing, restore your sound sleep by listening to these musical creations of Michael Terrell from WholeTonesLive.com. Now, I received a letter from Lisa. I'm not going to give her last name. Lisa wrote here recently, and I'm going to quote from it here. She writes this. She writes that I'm looking at this because this is a real letter. I don't want to give away any kind of personal information. Anyway, she was fighting with some personal physical debilitating ailments, and she's a type A personality. She had to slow down, and anyway, she wrote that one experience, something really great happened at school. They had a beauty review, and before it started, it was noticed that people were frantic. They did not have the music for the program. Think of this. Think of being in a position of like a music instructor or teacher at school, and you're putting on a program, and suddenly you realize you don't have the music. Well, do you have a silent pageant? No. Come to find out, the principal went to Lisa and asked if she had any CDs or any music with her. And the principal knew that she played Whole Tones in her classroom, plays Whole Tones in her classroom every day. And she said, yeah, I do. And so she went and got the CD from her vehicle of Open Doors. Right? Well, she put it, they played it at the pageant, and the music was so very soothing. So very soothing. The results were astounding. Now, I know I didn't do this justice, but imagine needing music for a pageant, a play at school, a pageant at school, and then not having it. But then substituting Whole Tones for it. Tell you what, it relieved, it did a lot of things, and it was welcomed, and it was great. So, here's the deal. Go to WholeTonesLive.com, folks. If you feel overwhelmed, stressed, whatever, go to WholeTonesLive.com. Listen to the samples that they've got. Download them. Look at the different frequencies. Look at how you can perhaps treat or address chronic pain or PTSD. Discover how healing music tones are hidden deep in ancient frequencies. They're there. This is not some new age sitting in a circle chanting Om thing. It's not even close to that. No. It's the music of the Bible. Music of King David. So, go to WholeTonesLive.com. And listeners to the Hagman and the Hagman Report, right now, when you spend $99 or more, you get $10 off. Look at the coupon at WholeTonesLive.com. Follow the instructions there. But by all means, folks, do it. WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Revolutionize, change your life through music, through the gift of music, through the gift God has given us, the frequencies. The music frequencies of King David. That's WholeTonesLive.com. What a great gift. And Father's Day is coming up, right?
Great
Father's Day
Sunday.
Gift. Yeah. So, anyway, a lot of news, folks, a lot of news going on right now. A lot of headlines. And again, go back to listen to what the interview with Joe Biggs. I have to take care of some business. I'm going to be leaving. I'm jumping ship right now.
Yep.
But I'm going to be leaving this program in very capable hands. Joe, my son, together with John Robertson, are going to go over the current events And from what I understand, from what Joe laid out for me earlier, it's going to be a powerful show. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Joe.
And, all right.
Folks, thank you so much. And I just want to say, before I leave, I just want
to
thank
you. Make sure you wear your arm floaties when you get in the swimming pool.
Yeah, yeah. Find me a swimming pool. No, seriously, I just want to say to everyone who is listening to this program and who are listeners to this program, I just want to just give you a warm thank you so much. You mean so much to me. You mean so much to us. You mean so much to our family, Eric the Tech, even just loves y'all too. So, but with that, I'm going to leave you in the very capable hands of Joe and John. Joe, go ahead, sir.
All right. Yeah, we got with us John Robertson, our Hollywood insider, friend of the show, has been on many times, has helped us put together many shows with Pastor Flip Benham and many others. And we've done, as I said, the Hollywood Insider shows. He's been a guest on J.B. Wells' show and was a speaker at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, and will be also in speaking in Knoxville, where he will be releasing his new book. John, it's great to have you back on the show. Why don't you give the audience a little update as to what you've been doing lately and what you've been working on?
Okay, I will, but first I got to laugh a little bit. Folks, greetings and God's blessings on each and every one of you. Joe, what did you just suggest to your father to get his floaty? Can you
before yes, but before he gets the pool, in the pool, he has to make sure he has his floaties on. You know, we don't want him drowning.
You know, I've never really qualified Doug Hagman as a selfie type of guy. But Doug, if you're still listening, brother, if ever there was a time that I would love a selfie, it's when you've got your floaties on in the pool there, brother.
we'll try and get you
on this evening.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, tell folks about your new radio show and the book that you're working on.
Well, Joe, thank you very much. I'll just give folks a quick rundown. And what I'd like to do is really contextualize this as an example, folks, not an example of what John Robertson is doing or an example of what Mike and Jeannie are doing at Hear the Watchmen or an example of what Doug and Joe are doing or even Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs over at InfoWars. I want each of you, as you hear this quick rundown, to ask yourselves, what are you doing? And I want to encourage everybody listening tonight, every brother and sister that can hear my voice, replace that fear with faith. You know, the hardest part of doing what we do, and when I say we, I mean everybody that congregates around these shows, from Doug Hagman to J.B. Wells to Chance at American Survival Wholesale, all the different voices you hear, the single thing that we grapple with the most is just trusting God to replace that fear with faith. And once you learn to do that, folks, and it's an ongoing process, but once you learn to do that, the rest, I don't want to say it takes care of itself, because I believe that God orders our steps. And when I look back, Joe and Hagman family, at the last, I don't know, 13, 14 months of my life personally, I'm gobsmacked. I mean, I wouldn't even have written this in fiction, because it would be too over the top and unbelievable. Anyway, that being said, God has been good. Folks, we launched a new show on Blog Talk Radio called Brothers on the Wall. And I just want to take a quick moment to give sort of a tip of the hat to Brother Marcus, who is with our Heavenly Father as we listen and speak this evening, and Curtis, who occupied the time slot that we are now in on Blog Talk Radio with their awesome show, Pine Ridge Warriors, and that ran for a good period of time. So we are on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern on Saturday evenings, and that is, again, Brothers on the Wall, brothersonthewall.com, Blog Talk Radio, every Saturday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern. And what's been really cool about this show, Joe and all the Hagman listeners, is we're taking a different approach. As the title would indicate, Brothers on the Wall is an open platform. We want to bring community watchmen from all walks of life, all demographics, all geographic locations up onto the wall with us. And we want to give you a moment to tell all of our listeners what it is you're doing in service to the kingdom and what it is you're doing as you trust God to replace that fear with faith. Because, folks, everybody listening tonight knows we are in the 11th hour, 59th minute. It's not good enough to sit on the sidelines anymore. You know, I think probably the two most germane comments ever made on these Christian frontline internet radio shows were by our brother Steve Quayle and our brother Doug Hagman. Steve Quayle, who reminds us all the time that there are no political solutions to spiritual problems, and Doug, who reminds us regularly that we were born for this time and we all have a position to play. Now, Joe, if I may, I want to give a quick example of what I mean by bringing Community Watchmen up on the wall, because in real time right now, Brothers on the Wall is broadcasting with my co-host Mike and our good friend Pastor Flip Benham, and I left the show early to jump over to do the Hagman and Hagman report. But these are the type of people, folks, who are reaching out to us, and these are the people that we are honoring and sharing the mic with. And Joe, I want to thank you for initiating that spirit among all of us, because you and your dad were so generous with airtime on the Hagman and Hagman report that it inspired people like me and Mike and Chance and Brother Marcus, God rest his soul, to take that next step of faith and say, I can do this. I'm scared, but I know God will infuse within me the courage to do this, and I'm going to do it. Folks, tonight in the first hour of Brothers on the Wall, we brought on a high school senior. I'll just say his first name. His name is Brandon, and his mom came on as well. Her name is Monica. And our first broadcast back on May 28th was with Pastor Paul Bagley. And again, that's brothersonthewall.com. That night, Brandon's mother, Monica, came on. She was our first community watchman who joined us up on the wall. And Monica explained to all of our listeners that she had started a Bible study in the greater Boise area in Idaho. And she wanted to give thanks to the Lord and to encourage all of our listeners with just her single step of faith. She has a vibrant, big-time Bible study going on, and people are being nourished. People are being infused with Holy Spirit power that they need to get through these crazy times. Then we found out about her son, Brandon. So flash forward, what, 5 episodes later, tonight we were running with Pastor Flip Benham, and we find out that Brandon has been, he's a senior in high school, folks, 17 years old, standing in the gap, fighting what I call the Facebook wars, standing up for Christ. He's lost all of his friends, and he's even posted some very erudite and very well-written posts in defense of Chris Kyle. Now, you folks may remember Chris Kyle is the hero of the bestseller American Sniper and major feature film from last year. So Brandon joined us up on the wall tonight, 17 years old, and imagine how it felt to be the host of this show. I'm listening to this super brave 17-year-old kid, Joe, talk about how he is fearless in his high school. Now, everybody listening to us tonight has been to high school. You folks remember how hard that is, how scary it is. All you want to do is go along and get along. Not Brandon. He's standing on the wall. And I've got Flip Benham ready to come in. He's listening to Brandon. Brandon is encouraging men who are 3 times his age listening to us to get up out of the Barca lounger and get into this fight. So, folks, join us Saturday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio for Brothers on the Wall. But equally important, understand the opportunity that sits before you right here this evening. This show is brand new. We are just one step out of launch. We've done 5 shows with Pastor Paul Bagley, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor David Langford. We had L.A. Marzulli on recently, and this Saturday night, we will welcome Josh Tolley from The Josh Tolley Show up onto the wall. And Saturday, June 25th, we will welcome Carl Gallups. Many of you recognize Carl from the Hagman and Hagman Report and Caravan to Midnight. He is on the Board of Regents at the University of Alabama, and he is also a deputized member of Sheriff Joe Arpaio's cold case posse down in Maricopa County, Arizona, trying to get to the bottom of this King Hussein Obama birth certificate issue. Folks, Brothers on the Wall is brand new, and this is what I want to say about the show, and I'm going to hand it back to you, Joe. We want to hear from you. if you are a difference maker, if you are in your community, you could be doing the smallest thing. Are you picking up a couple of neighbor kids and getting them to Sunday school? Are you taking an extra plate of food across the street to the elderly widow or widower? We want to hear from you. I know a lot of you write. You may feel like maybe your writing's not too good. Get your writing to us. We post on three different sites. We post daily. We have Sergeant Tim from Texas. We have our economics go-to, Stephen Minking, out of New York City. I write for the site, and so does Maria Canise. And many of you know Maria, the author of Prepare for Persecution. This is your time. If you want to step up on the wall and be heard, we want to continue in the spirit of the Hagman and Hagman Report and give every brother and sister out there a chance to talk about your website, your Bible study, what it is you're doing. And Joe, the last thing I'll say is it was really what we did this time last year with HH Connections that put this spirit in my heart and made me realize how amazing the listeners to the Hagman and Hagman Report are and how powerful they are when they allow the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the risen Christ to come into them and allow them and guide them to do things that they never dreamed they could do. Brothers on the Wall, brothersonthewall.com, every Saturday, 7 o'clock Eastern, Blog Talk Radio. Joe, I'll hand it back to you.
Amen, and that's awesome, John. And Brother Marcus was a dear friend of mine, and just a fantastic man, and we do miss him. And his Curtis, his son, is fantastic as well. And the lineup of guests that you just mentioned for the first five shows that you did, I'd say you guys hit a home run and are doing a great job. And just to continue to do that. And we need, you know, we were, and many people know this, we worked as private investigators before we started this radio show, never intending to, planning on, or sitting down and talking about starting a show or doing a radio show. It was something that my dad and Judy McLeod of Canada Free Press wanted to do on Saturday evenings. And they did one show, one podcast, and Judy wasn't too comfortable, didn't like it too much. And my dad asked me if I wanted to try and do one with them the next week. And we did, and every Saturday lasted for about 8 months, and we were picked up by a network, and we started in January 1st, January 2nd of 2012, and have been doing it full-time since, pretty much abandoning our private investigation work. And at the time, I understood that it was a call from God, you know, to put us in this position, to give us this platform, to be voices, as we see, and we're seeing the increase of the manipulation through the mainstream media. And as I said in the first hour with Joe Biggs, you know, all we really continue to do is to show up and, you know, read our Bibles and to pray and to do the research. And the Lord had continued and continues to bless us and bless the show and the platform. And it's because of great guests like yourself and others, and just so many factors that are out of our control that had to come together at the right times and the right moments that only the Lord could have situated, and He did that. And it takes a step of faith. I mean, we need to have faith and understand that you know, we're not promised a walk in the park in this world. We are promised trouble, tribulation, suffering, but we're also promised blessings through our faithfulness. And just like it is with true Christians, we can't just talk about being good Christians. We have to be obedient and be true Christians in our actions. We also have to walk out our faith in the same way. And it's taking that first step that you have no idea what doors can open after you take that step.
Wow. You know, Joe, you just hit that so succinctly. And, you know, I was thinking while I listened to you speak how, and I'll just say this for myself. You know, folks, I've joked with some of you on the phone or at Hear the Watchman. When God picked me, he was at the back of his Rolodex. I mean, he really was. And, you know, when you look at the journey that the Hagmans have been on, okay, when you look at the journey that John B. Wells has been on. And when you look at the journey that somebody brand new to this, like myself, is on, I'm telling you, the key is to look directly at faith and fear. That is the key. And Hebrews 11:1, Joe, is my favorite scripture in the entire Bible. In fact, folks, I wrote an article that you can find on brothersonthewall.com or at outlawpatriotnews.wordpress.com. And for those of you who joined us in HH Connections and were at Hear the Watchman and have been with the Hagmans, you know, sitting around the Hagman kitchen table for a few years now, I think you'll like this article. Doug and Joe figure prominently in the article. And the article is called The Evidence of Things Not Seen, HH Connections to Brothers on the Wall. Now, that title I chose very carefully, Joe, because Hebrews 11:1 assures us that faith is the substance of all things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And, Joe, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I have a question for you, and I've been curious about this for a long time, and I bet a lot of the listeners are too. Would you be willing to talk for a few minutes about some of the obstacles that you and your dad faced when you began to, as you said, quote, abandon some of the private investigation work and really go full-time with the Hagman and Hagman Report? Would you be willing to speak transparently about some of the fears you faced and some of the obstacles?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we, as I said in the first hour, when we did the private investigation work, especially toward the end there, we were doing a lot of work in New York City, and we would, you know, be out of town for, a week, 5 days to a week, and be back in town for that same amount of time, traveling a lot, traveling constantly. And during one of the trips, and I don't know how many times, I don't think, maybe once or twice I've told this story on the air. We were coming back from the Hamptons and doing a case, heading to a case up in Lake George, just north of Albany. And I was driving the whole day. It was, I think, October 27th or 28th in 2009, maybe. And we were on Route 87, and we were in a, it was an SUV. It was a Chevy Trailblazer. And it's a three-lane highway. I'm in the middle lane. It's just after dusk, so it just started to get dark. It was real wet. The leaves were falling. They were all over the road. And I wasn't playing with the radio. I wasn't not paying attention. I had both hands on the wheel. And the back end of the vehicle kicked out. And we started fishtailing, spinning around. Long story short, it was truly a miracle. The car was totaled. We flew 250 feet into the woods. And neither of us had a scratch on us. Now, during that incident, during that crash, I had, I guess what you'd say is a spiritual experience, where my dad says, and we'll say he had a nightmarish experience. He says we were in different cars. Everything was in slow motion for me. And during this whole time that we're spinning out of control and you see the crash coming, I had this overwhelming calmness and peace, almost like there was a guardian angel in the car. And at the time, from my past, I was in trouble with the law, and I had to go, I was incarcerated, and I was kind of going through a recovery and learning how to be an adult and a human. And it was at that moment that really opened my eyes back to the Bible and Jesus. And we started stopping at different bookstores, used bookstores, and I would buy as many historical and interesting books from, you know, the George Washington books to old commentary books on the Bible. And that's where, I mean, my faith walk really started. I asked the Lord into my life when I was 12, being brought up by my mother and father, who they both were church-going people, and taught me about Jesus when I was young, but I never really embraced that faith. Well, once I started just reading the Bible and just getting interested in it, and the companies we worked for, the private investigators, wanted us to travel more, wanted us to give us bigger caseloads, and the pay was less. And then this opportunity for the show comes around. Well, all of a sudden, before we know it, you know, we have a gap in work time from the PI work. We're doing the radio show. We're paying to do the radio show. And something happened. The network that picked us up, we were on there with Paul Bagley when we first started. And after about 3 months, Paul Bagley and us, we left the network due to differences between the owner and the host. And 2 days before that happened, I got a call from a good friend of mine who is an intercessor and somebody who is a very faithful woman. And she said that there are going to be a few doors closing in your life, but there's going to be 1,000 more opened in the next weeks. And I didn't know what she meant. And I don't know that she knew what she meant. And she was just delivering a message. But sure enough, we dropped from the network and we went solo on BTR, just me and my dad. And since that day, I haven't worried at all. We've had, issues, concerns about money, about being able to continue to do this, staying on the air. And that's grown into being able to expand and being able to bring on more people. Now, it's taken years to be able to do that, and it's taken years for us to get where we are today. But as far as doubts or worries, that's not something that really went through my mind. I would say next time you get on with my dad, that's something you should talk to him about as the worrying part, because I know he went through a lot of that. But that's kind of left him as far as understanding and knowing that this is where we're supposed to be. That's not anything that goes through his mind anymore. And I think that's, that's huge in my mind, at least. Because I knew once we started this, and once we had a regular listening audience, and when I say regular, I mean 50, 100 people, I knew that this is what we were going to be doing.
Joe, thank you so much for sharing that. And I hope that, and I believe that, many listeners right now in real time had a certain inspiration sparked within them the same way I did as I listened to you share on a pretty personal level that story. And before we jump, I know there's a lot of crazy news going on and there's so much we can talk about, but before we jump into that stuff, it just serves to reiterate the point, Joe, that I really feel that the Spirit has placed on my heart, not just tonight, but over the past several weeks, and it is this. It's late, folks, and the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and we need each and every one of you to stand in the gap. Now, that doesn't mean if you have white-hot fear about speaking publicly, then there are so many other places we need you. We need you to support your neighbors. We need you to be active in your church. We need you to fight that fear if you're in the parking lot or in a gas station and speak to somebody, especially if you feel the Holy Spirit place it upon your heart. You know, I know living in LA and being in the greater Seattle area more recently, and, you know, I move around a lot, Joe, I see opportunities all the time of people who look like they're just about on their last leg. You know, so when you hear myself, folks, or Joe, or Doug, or any of the other people who congregate around these shows, when you hear us exhort and encourage you to stand in the gap, or to come up on the wall, or to be a difference maker, it is in accordance to the tools that God gives you. And it's, you know, I concluded one of my articles recently with reminding people that Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you remain within me and I in you, without me, you can do nothing. And you see, Joe, what I love about that scripture is it reminds us that the pressure's off. And that's what you said just a moment ago, that once you got the word from that friend of yours, the intercessor, and God bless her for that. You know, I'll just ask you straight up, was it a moment where you realized perhaps that it wasn't really you driving the car, that there was that God had his hand on this thing?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that wasn't right away. But, you know, in all the people that we got to talk to and meet, like I said, Pastor Paul Bagley, he was one of our first guests on when we started doing the show. Absolutely. I mean, when you have all these different confirmations and, you know, people who are emailing you and saying, you know, thank you so much for, you know, talking about Jesus. You know, it brought my faith back to life listening to the message I heard on your show last night and hearing the wonderful emails that people are so thankful that our show's on and hearing the messages that we're talking about and our guests are talking about and seeing the effect that had on those people. I mean, just from the first email, the first compliment, the first testimony, from then on, it was never a question. I knew God was in control and that this, you know, this was all for his purposes. And it always will be.
Amen. You know, hearing you say that just now, it reminds me of a conversation that John B. Wells and I had at some point last year on a Caravan to Midnight episode. And, you know, I don't know why the Lord does this, Joe, but he's done it many times on your show and on other platforms as well. Sometimes he will just instruct me to sort of open my mouth, and generally speaking, I don't want to do it because a lot of times it's stuff that could be considered maybe a little too personal or maybe embarrassing, discussing things, trying to take lemons that were in my life and encourage the listeners to trust the Lord to help them make lemonade. I know that's kind of a cheesy analogy, but he does this, and I believe very strongly, Joe and Hagman family, I believe that as long as I'm obedient to that spiritual encouragement, that the Lord will continue to order my steps and take me further down this journey. And that being said, I was talking to John B. Wells on air, and I said to him, I said, you know, John, when I look at my life, when I living in San Francisco, in Oakland, 16 years in Hollywood, many of you who've heard my stories on the Hagman and Hagman Report, you know that I've had a very colorful life and perhaps, you know, a unique life in many ways. And I thought I was the coolest cat in town. I thought I was so slick. You know, if the cops were coming through the front door, I was going out the bathroom window. That's what I thought. And I legitimately carried that ridiculous, arrogant chip on my shoulder, Joe, for years. And over a period of time, the Lord humbled me. And he showed me through life experiences and through prayer and just through that still small voice, he showed me, you didn't do any of that. You didn't do any of that. I spared you because I love you. You didn't do any of those things. I brought you home all those nights on the highway. I took care of you and got you out of those sticky situations in the nick of time. It wasn't you. It was me, because I'm your Heavenly Father and I love you. And I said, you know, John, when I think of that, it humbles me, and it makes me realize at 44 years old, I'm halfway through my life, and maybe I should spend the second half of my life knowing the way that the Lord spared me, seeking his face to determine why, and then to take action. And it was a great moment, Joe, between John and myself, and he said back to me, he said, John, I'm going to tell you something. If I had received from the Heavenly Father what I deserved, which is justice, I'd be in a hole in the ground. But instead, he gave me grace. Joe?
Mm-hmm. And I think many of us, even many in the listening audience, you know, have been through, put themselves through, been through some just, you know, heartbreaking and just terrible situations. In my case, things I put myself through, friends around me dying left and right, and you do wonder, you know, why are you spared? Why are you left alive? All the horrible things I've done in my life, you know, and a lot of that is the enemy, you know, whispering in your ear. At the same time, we have to be convicted truly in our hearts in order to change, and a lot of conviction comes from admitting, you know, our sins and where we're wrong in our lives and accepting the correction from the Holy Spirit. And we have to be open to that correction, to get that change. And from experience, at least from what I've seen, people are so quick to point at other people as the source of the problems of the world and of the country. But I believe if each individual person took on their own problems, things would change. Just like when we look at politics, everybody looks for the election of a new president to change the policies and ways of a country, like Trump, make America great again. Well, you can have 1,000 Trumps in a row. It's never going to make America great again. You got to do it from a local level, from the bottom back up. And that's the same way you got to do it with your faith walk. And, you know, it's not easy. You know, we know that God does not tempt us. At the same time, he will not give us more than we can handle, but he will make sure that we walk out and that our faith is true and tested. You look at the stories in the Bible from Daniel to Job. These people, I mean, Daniel, literally thrown in the lion's den. Job had his whole family, everything he owned, taken away from him, only to be repaid, many times over again what he had. And that was, you know, he had to walk through all the deaths and the destruction of his property, of his livestock, of his family. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. But it's that faith that he had, and that faith is our duty to the Lord. And it's more than words. We really have to be and have faith of action. And I think that what you're talking about, you know, the bringing people together, bringing people, we still are inundated with emails and calls. Yesterday we had a caller from a guy from Missouri who talked about wanting to be able to meet people in his area, getting together to network and do Bible studies with people in his area and not being able to find people. And, you know, we suggested people starting their own Bible studies, printing out leaflets and leaving them on cards, like the guerrilla marketing tactics, to get people in your area, that are like-minded. And you guys have you've been working for years trying to set up something very similar to that, doing just that. And it's time that we come together, because part of our faith and walking out our faith is the fellowship aspect. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. And it's nice to have chat rooms and websites and social media to interact on, but nothing replaces the fellowship of the face-to-face and, neighborly and brotherly love that you have in a real church environment. And when I say church, I'm not talking about the buildings and the masses that go on. I'm talking about people with a pure heart, with the Bible, you know, seeking the truth of Jesus. And we need more of that. And people are paralyzed in their minds through fear, through the times we live in. I mean, our world is upside down right now. And those that have the Lord can see it and they understand it. A lot of them just don't know, you know, where do we step from here?
You know, Joe, you're exactly right. And you just sparked a thought that I want to share with you and with the listeners. Consider this, folks. I know many of you, and I've been so blessed over the past, say, 3 years or so at the Whitestone Remnant Conference, at the Hear the Watchman Conference, when we met with our brother Nathan Leal up in Priest River, Idaho, back in November at his conference. I've been so blessed to interact with so many of you. And one of the things, Joe, that I hear from Hagman and Hagman Report listeners and people who follow Steve Quayle and people who follow Paul McGuire is that they have a hard time with this incredible inventory of knowledge that they have, and it keeps them awake at night, and they suffer insomnia, and they don't know what to do exactly, Joe, with all of this information. And as you were speaking just now, it occurred to me, and hear me, folks, if you in fact have that information, you can look at Drudge, you can look at stevequayle.com, you can look at paulmcguire.us, you can go to Caravan to Midnight. If you have the discernment within you to understand what it is you're looking at, if you have been blessed with eyes that can in fact see, then guess what? You've been handed a golden ticket to work for the greatest employer of all time, and that employer is God. And you know, I was sitting on a deck in up in the Sawtooth Mountains in Idaho about 10 days ago, Joe. It was early morning, and I was out there getting some vitamin D. And the scripture in Matthew, where Jesus talks about looking at the birds and how the birds, they don't worry about where they're going to get their food, where they're going to eat. They don't worry about where their home is. And he says, if my Father takes care of the birds the way that he does, how much greater will he take care of you? So folks, consider this when you go to bed this evening. If you have discernment when you read these difficult news items, when you listen to the Hagman & Hagman Report, the Common Sense Show, and Brothers on the Wall, then you have been given entree into the greatest task there possibly is, which is working for nothing short of God. I've got news for you, folks. Regardless of where you're at in your beliefs and regardless of where you're at in your faith walk, you're going to meet him. You are going to meet him. And I don't know about you, Joe, but boy, I am going to work as hard as I can, and I get scared every day, but I'm going to work as hard as I can because I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I do not want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Amen. Amen to that. And that's so true. And you know, that every Christian should have on their mind, what can we do not only to strengthen our walk of faith with Jesus, but what can we do for others, for our neighbors, for those less fortunate than us? And, you know, I see headlines, like this one today, out of the Sun. U.S. Navy discusses plans to fit humans with microchips and track their every move. And this is something, you know, I've been researching the RFID, the, Mark of the Beast, the, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, this technology is here. We're seeing these changes in our society, from marriage to technology, and to this, you know, cognitive disconnection with a majority of the population. And it reminds me of scriptures in the Bible that talk about, you know, people's eyes being blinded, their ears being deaf, because that, you know, they've been turned over, because of their iniquity, or because it is the will of the Lord for the times such as these. And we have to understand that, you know, until the Lord does return, until that instant where everything changes, we are here, and we are the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ together. And the body can't work unless it is unified. We can't have a divided body where, you know, you have one half of your body trying to walk one way and the other half trying to go the other way. It doesn't work that way. And understanding that each and every one of us, you know, is unworthy, but we're saved by grace through faith. And once we have that understanding and agreement, and we are in agreement about that, everything else is unimportant, and we can unify around that and open the eyes of millions. But until people and until the world sees that Christians aren't backbiting, aren't attacking each other, you know, we too often see put in the mainstream media people labeled Christians who do horrible things, like the, you know, name calling, to tearing apart other people, you know, begging for money in just insane amounts of money. I need a second plane. There's just so much division inside our church. There's a lot of it down denominational lines, a lot of it down theological lines. But we can all agree, if we can all agree that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, came in the flesh, died for our sins, and was resurrected, that's the starting point. And I think people need to understand the times we're in and really unite on those basic principles and precepts from God. Because if we don't, how can we ever be the end times church that he calls us to be?
How can we indeed? And, you know, Joe, as I listened to your remarks, two things occurred to me, and I would like to give all of the Hagman listeners a couple of resources. One is very small and it's easy to access. You can do it this evening. The other requires a little bit of preparation, but you mentioned fellowship a moment ago, Joe, and this is so important. I'll just take a couple minutes to hit this quickly. There is, Joe, and I'll pass it back to you momentarily, but there is a revival that's been going on in southwest West Virginia. And I would encourage all the brothers and sisters out in the Hagman and Hagman family tonight, go on YouTube and just type in Revival West Virginia and take a look at some of these reports that have been pouring out of southwest West Virginia. Joe, get this. At one high school, 450 kids got saved. And you look at these videos of like these couple, you know, few hundred kids. They've got their hands in the air. They're worshiping God. And if you're redeemed in the blood, I challenge any of you listening to us here this evening to watch that video and not have tears well in your eyes and feel your skin tingle. And the other thing I wanted to encourage folks to is to find that fellowship. And I'll say this on a personal note, folks. You know, I met Doug and Joe in person for the first time, and we'd had a lot of great moments on air for maybe 18 months previous, but I met them in person for the first time at the Whitestone Remnant Conference, which was May 30th through, I think, June 1st or 2nd back in 2014. And that was Michael Bennett and Steve Quayle who brought us that conference, and we had Pastor John Kyle and Russ Dizdar, and our brother Pastor David Langford was there. And, you know, I sold, I don't remember how many ounces, but I sold silver at a greater than 50% loss, folks, to be at that conference. And I did it not because I necessarily wanted to go to Montana, although I did, but it wasn't about Bozeman, Montana. It wasn't about meeting Steve Quayle. I was excited to meet Doug and Joe Hagman, but it wasn't about that. I had a quickening in my spirit telling me, you have to be on the plane with Chance and Merrill. You have to go there. That being said, I don't want to push this too heavy and hard tonight, folks, but there is another Hear the Watchman conference coming up. It is in Knoxville, September 30th through October 1st. Pastor Paul Bagley, Paul McGuire will be there for the entire conference. I will be speaking. Michael Bodea, Dimitri Dudeman's grandson, who's got a totally cool ministry, he will be there. I know John B. Wells is going to be there. It's a great lineup. But the most important thing, Joe, and I'll close on this, is Pastor David Langford told us on Brothers on the Wall this last Friday night that 253 people were baptized at the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas. Think about that, Joe. I mean, that must have made headlines in the kingdom, you know? 253 people washed of their sins. How cool is that?
Yeah. No, it's and being there and seeing that and witnessing it in person, it's so moving and such a blessing to be able to see and be a part of, and all those people, you know, taking that walk of faith together. It's worth the price of admission and then some.
It most certainly is. Yeah. Let me give that website quickly, folks. It's Hear the Watchmen, and the only tricky thing is it's men, M-E, and hearthewatchmen.com. I talked to Mike earlier today, and you can save some pretty significant money by ordering tickets sooner than later. And, you know, I know this kind of might sound like a little bit of a sales pitch or whatever, but it's not. I'm just telling you from my personal experience there. The best part about being there is that you are surrounded by 1,000 brothers and sisters who know what you know. They feel what you feel. They're in this fight with you, breast to shoulder, arms interlocked. They're with you. And you know, Joe, I'll just close out the bottom of this hour by saying this. The thing that touched me the most when we were in Dallas was people walked up to me, and it was kind of weird because they knew who I was, and I know you've gone through that as well, Joe. It's a little bit strange to get used to. And you know what? They would just shake my hand, and they would say, thank you. And they'd say, God bless you, too. And they would just say, thank you. It was so cool. I'm at a loss for words. It was really something.
And it's humbling, isn't it?
You need fellowship, folks. You need fellowship.
Yeah, yeah, it's humbling, and it's hard. I mean, if you're like me, John, I know you sit there and think, you know, you're uncomfortable when that happens to you. And I don't know if people really understand that, but because if you're like me, you're not anybody special. You're just a normal guy doing what you're called to do. And there shouldn't be any rewards or praise for that. It's what we're supposed to do. But when you get that, pat on the back and the thank yous, and it is just something that you can't really describe in words. Folks, we're talking with John Robertson. We're going to be back with him on the other side of this hour. We had Joe Biggs in hour number one. We're going to get into some geopolitical news and current events on the other side with John, so stay with us on this Thursday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.